Turn with us to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 this morning. I know that's a familiar text, but that's what the Lord put on my heart to preach this morning, and I pray that God will use it. And the song goes so well with the sermon this morning. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. Amen. You know how you won't forget the day? Because it'll be real to you right now if you've been saved. Amen. Every day is real when you're a child of God. Amen. And so I want to stand this morning in reverence to the Word of God in prayer if you're able. John chapter number 3. And we'll read this familiar text and then bring the message that God has laid upon our heart. John chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, yet and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would help us now. We pray that the Word of God would go forth, that the Holy Spirit would deal with hearts. I pray you'd save the lost, reclaim the backslid, encourage those that may be discouraged, and strengthen those that may be weary this morning. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes on this subject, on the world's greatest story. The world's greatest story. When we come to this text this morning, we note this man by the name of Nicodemus, and you've heard preaching on him, and we've preached on him several times. When we come to verse number 1, we note that Nicodemus is real. The Bible said that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is more than just a Bible character. Nicodemus is a real individual. He's a real person. Nicodemus lived upon this earth. He's as real as you and as real as I am this morning. And Nicodemus had a need in his life. And so we note that not only was he real, but he was religious. The Bible says here that he was a ruler of the Jews. And so Nicodemus came to Christ, and he has talked with the other Pharisees, as he says in verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus was basically a spokesman for the others. He was revealing what others, those Pharisees, the discussion that they had amongst themselves. And when I think about Nicodemus this morning, yes, he was real, and yes, he was a religious but lost person, but he was ready. When he came to Jesus, the Bible said he came by night, but he was searching, he was seeking. He had a desire to want to be saved. Now, God
God will not save a man against his will. Amen. He is not going to storm the door of your heart. He is not going to arrest your soul and take you captive to salvation. No, that's not what the Bible says. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. God is a perfect gentleman. He will give you an invitation. He'll give me an invitation to come and to be saved. That's what the Bible says. Come. He that is thirsty, let him come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. God is not going to shackle your soul and force you into the kingdom of God. But every man, woman, boy, and girl must make a conscious choice as to either accept Jesus Christ as their Savior or to reject him. Amen. Unbelief is to choose not to accept Christ. It is to choose to not believe the gospel. I want to say you have a choice this morning. God made you a free moral agent. You have a free will that God has given to you, and you have the ability to exercise that will. And I encourage you this morning, if you're lost, you need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ if you want to go to heaven. Amen. And so what Christ is going to do here is he's going to explain to Nicodemus the new birth. Amen. And when we think about this text this morning, I'm preaching on the greatest story of the world's greatest story this morning. And in this subject, I want you to think about, first of all, I see in this text the world's greatest tragedy. Amen. Here we have it in our scripture this morning, in the early verses of this passage of scripture, and the world's greatest tragedy is that a man would come to Jesus Christ and not accept him as his Savior. Brother Laddie, Nicodemus was a religious man, and he knew much about the things of God, but he did not know God. Amen. He did not know Christ in a personal way, and it would be a tragedy. That's the world's greatest tragedy, is to know so much about the Bible and to know so much about religion, but yet not know Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, you don't go to heaven because you join a church. Amen. You don't go to heaven because you pay tithes. You don't go to heaven because of good works. You don't go to heaven because, you got baptized. None of those things has anything to do with salvation this morning. Nicodemus was very religious, but he was very lost. Amen. And in order for you to be saved, you've got to see yourself lost. You've got to see yourself in need of a Savior. You've got to come honest and come clean and realize I need to be saved. I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. Friend, listen, you need God to pull the scales off your eyes and let you see yourself for who you really are. Amen. And the world's greatest tragedy is that a man would come to the door of heaven as Judas did and kiss the very door of heaven and die and go to hell. But I'm going to tell you, Judas isn't the only one that came to heaven's door and kissed it and went to hell. There's a lot of people that have sat under the sound of the gospel. They've spurned the invitation. They've been given an opportunity, but because of pride, because of religion, and because of what others may think or say, they turned away and they died and they went to hell without God. Amen. Notice, my friend, in this text this morning, when we think about the world's greatest tragedy, notice in verse number 3, I see the must here. As Jesus answered, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus is emphasizing to Nicodemus, you want to go to heaven? You're going to have to see me more than a good teacher come from God. You want to go to heaven? You're going to have to see more than the miracles that I'm doing. You're going to have to see the man. You're going to have to see Christ as your Savior. I'm telling you this morning, the new birth, it is an absolute must this morning. If you want to go to heaven, I see not only the must, but I see the misunderstanding. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Look at verse number 9. And Nicodemus answered and saith unto him, how can these things be? Do you see the misunderstanding? The reason that Nicodemus misunderstood the new birth in the beginning verses of this chapter here is because Nicodemus is thinking on a natural level, and Jesus is is talking on a spiritual level. Now Jesus is going to get Nicodemus where he needs to be. He's going to give him this a physical illustration, then he'll give him a natural illustration talking about the wind, but he's leading him to a spiritual illustration where Moses lifts up the serpent in the wilderness. Amen. You say, why did he do that? I'm going to tell you why. He put the cookies on the bottom shelf. He put it down there where Nicodemus could get a hold of it, and he was taking him somewhere. You know, Jesus will make salvation clear if you and I want to be saved this morning. So I see the misunderstanding in this text here. I want you to notice the meaning. Jesus explains it in verse 5. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's saying, Nicodemus, get off the natural or the physical level. Let's get into the spiritual realm. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. He said that that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's the second birth. That's the new birth this morning. I'm telling you, man's got to be born once to have physical life, but he's got to be born twice if he's going to have spiritual life this morning. Amen. And so we notice here the meaning. Notice the marvel. Jesus said to him in verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You know what the marvel is in this text? Listen to me, Jesus did not want Nicodemus so caught up in trying to figure salvation out that he missed it. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you're just going to have to take it at face value. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You're not getting a theological, you're not getting a theological thesis on how it all takes place, because even if Christ did give it to him, he wouldn't be able in his little finite mind to be able to put it all together. You know, when I get behind the wheel of a car, you may be able to be a mechanic and you can explain a lot of things, but there's some things about it you just can't put together, but you know it works. Amen. And you just put the key in the ignition and you turn it by faith and you just know that it works. I'm going to tell you this morning, that's how salvation is. If you try to reason it out, if you try to logic it out, you'll come up empty every time. But if you'll step out by faith and if you'll trust what Jesus said, you say, how do I know it's going to work? Because it'll take root and it'll be real in your life and you'll know that it's real and that it works. Amen. I see the marvel of it. I see the mystery of it. Look what he said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, if you have a Rock of Ages Bible, if you'll just look down at the bottom of that page, you'll see some notes there, and they sure are worth preaching. Amen. Listen, one of the things about the wind is that it is from heaven, and the wind cannot be seen. And the wind, it says, is powerful, its power and word cannot be fully understood. It can be heard. The wind can be heard. It is very powerful. And what it does can be seen. And it gives life, and the breath of life made man a living soul. That's what that Rock of Ages footnote said. I saw that highlight. I thought, man, that'll preach right there. Amen. You see, that's the way the Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God is from heaven. The Spirit of God cannot be seen. The Spirit of God is power, and it works. It can never fully be understood, but the Spirit of God can be heard, and the Spirit of God is very powerful, and what it does can be seen in the life of an individual. And the Spirit of God gives life, and when the Spirit of God breathes life into a man's spirit, his being, he becomes a spiritual, a living soul. Hallelujah. You have life this morning. And the mystery of the Spirit, you say, I can't figure it all out. I can't neither. But I can walk outside and stand outside, and guess what? I can't see the wind, but I can feel it. And I know when it passes by. And the wind, my friend, has power. And the wind will work. I'm telling you, the wind of the Spirit will work in your life this morning. If you'll trust Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will live on the inside. And then we see here the message. And the message is this. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 10, art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Don't miss the message, Nicodemus. The message of salvation is standing right in front of Nicodemus. And this morning, sinner, don't miss the message. The message of salvation is before you this morning. You say, what is that? Jesus isn't standing here. No, it's not. And I'm going to tell you what Nicodemus was hearing. He was hearing the very living word of God. He had to put his faith in the same thing that anybody else that gets saved has to do. He had to put his faith in what Jesus was saying. And sinner, don't you miss the message this morning. You have the word of God. It's not the living Jesus standing in front of you. It's not the living word standing here. But you have a written word. And Peter, who saw Christ, said we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed this morning. The world's greatest tragedy is that you would hear the gospel and you would reject it and die without God this morning. If you've not been saved, you need to come this morning. And I see the world's greatest tragedy, and then I see the world's greatest truths this morning. Look at verse 11. Look at what Jesus says in verse 11. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Is that not what we base all our salvation on? What Jesus said. The word verily means truly. He said truly, truly. I mean, you can back up and see it in some other places. It's in verse number 3. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee. It's in verse number 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. It's in verse number 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. I want to tell you this morning, there's the world's greatest tragedy. But in this text, there is the world's greatest truths this morning. What is the world's greatest truths? I want to tell you it's the fact this morning that great facts have been revealed. Jesus said, we do speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. You see, my friend, they was trusting in the law and they was trusting in religion, but they rejected the words of Christ. Hear me this morning, sinner. The greatest truth that's ever been revealed is the word of God this morning, and the world's greatest truth is that which has come from the lips of our Lord. Don't ever get over the fact that you and I have been blessed. We have been privileged to know the truth this morning. I'm glad I'm not deceived. I'm glad I'm not a Mormon. I'm glad I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm glad I'm not a Catholic this morning. I'm glad the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, it came to my doorstep one day, and thank God I heard the gospel. I believed the gospel. I obeyed the gospel. And this morning salvation is wrapped up in a truth this morning. Amen. I'm not saved because of tears, and thank God for tears. I'm not saved this morning because of an experience, and thank God for an experience. But I'm saved because of the truth. You say, Brother Gradley, you said it last week. I know, and I'll probably say it again next week. And who knows how many weeks after that. Because people need to get a hold of it in this hour. That everything we have and everything that we believe this morning, listen, we're not charismatics. Can I get an amen right there? You didn't come to a Pentecostal church this morning. You came to a Baptist church. Can I get a witness? And we're not trusting. We're not seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tell you, if you get saved, you'll get the Holy Ghost. You say, do you believe in a second work of grace? Yes. And I believe in a third work and a fourth work and a 20th work of grace. And I believe in a 1,000th work of grace. He's been working grace. He worked grace in. And thank God he's been working it out ever since the day you and I got saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, our salvation this morning is anchored in the truth. It's anchored in the Word of God. It's anchored in what can never fail. I'm glad it's anchored in what Jesus said. It's not in what I said, but it's in what he said this morning. And thank God my words will fade and my words will fail. But the word of the Lord, it standeth sure, having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hallelujah this morning. I think about the greatest truths, the world's greatest truths. Great facts are required. Are you going to trust what Jesus said? Great faith is required. Jesus said in verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Jesus said, if you won't believe me now, you won't believe me in eternity. You know, this morning, that's the same thing that was told to the rich man in hell when he said, send Lazarus, that he may go to my five brethren and testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Father Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. That's the truth, the word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. A resurrection wouldn't convince that crowd if they wouldn't believe the Bible. You say, well, maybe it would. No, it didn't happen after Jesus resurrected. That same crowd that wouldn't believe before, they didn't believe it afterwards. They knew he got up. They knew he was alive. They knew he had resurrected, but pride, they chose not to believe it before, and so they chose not to believe it after. I'm telling you, a sinner could walk in the church this morning and get under the sound of the gospel, amen. Hear the truths of God's word. It doesn't matter how far out in sin they be. It doesn't matter how wicked they are. If they'll put their faith in the word of God and accept Jesus Christ, he'll save their never dying soul, and they can go to heaven when this life is over with. I want to say great faith is required. Great facts are revealed. I would say this, a great friend is found this morning. Because the Bible says in verse number 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's a great friend in the fact that he descended. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, isn't it a blessing this morning to know that Christ would come to this old sin-cursed earth? He would descend down here and come and walk 33 and a half years, live, my friend, as a man, and die as a man, and resurrect as a man. I mean, think about Jesus. He left the portals of glory. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside his honor. He came down here born in a virgin's womb. He lived and died in this old world. Why? Because he loved you and because he loved me. Romans 5 and verse 6 said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm telling you, it ought to mean something to everyone of us, and that Jesus would be willing to come from heaven's portals to earth to die for our sins this morning. I want to say thank God. He is the greatest friend because of his descension and because that he died. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, notice this, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How do you go to heaven? I'll tell you how. You got to look and live. When that serpent was raised upon that pole that day, those that have been bitten by those fiery serpents, a picture of sin. Sin has bitten every one of us. And that serpent on that pole, that was a picture of Christ becoming sin for us. Amen. He became what we were. What we were, what we are is sinners. Amen. I'm telling you, sin has so infected us that, my friend, that's what man was labeled. He was labeled a sinner. Amen. And that serpent was put on that pole, that brazen serpent, a picture of wrath. A picture of judgment. And that pole was lifted up, a picture of the cross. And Jesus, he that knew no sin, he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And those 3 hours of darkness at Calvary, Jesus not only died for me and not only died for you, but he died as me and he died as you. He bore our sins. He became our sins at Calvary. And as that serpent was lifted up, the Son of Man was lifted up, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life this morning. He died. He delivers. I love verse 15, don't you? That whosoever. You know, this morning, that's anybody. That's everybody. That's anybody in this building this morning that's not saved. The world's greatest story is the world's, involves the world's greatest tragedy, the world's greatest truth. The truth is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed in Jesus this morning with all of your heart? If you have, then you got a promise in verse 15. If you haven't, then you ought to come this morning and get born in the family of God, the world's greatest truth. And then we come to verse 16, the world's greatest text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, of all the scriptures in the Bible, I know all the scriptures is profitable and is for doctrine, reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I want to say this morning, I think that you would agree with me that if you could choose one text in all the Bible to tell a sinner how to be saved, to give them the gospel, there's not a better verse in all the Word of God than John 3:16. I'm telling you, John 3:16 is one of the is the world's greatest text. This morning, if a sinner will hear John 3:16 and put their faith in Christ, they can be born again for God. My friend, so loved, that's the greatest love. The world that he gave, that's the greatest sacrifice. His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the greatest scope. My friend, that believeth in him should not perish. That's the greatest gift, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise. Amen. I'm telling you, all of it's in this verse this morning. I'm glad that God looked beyond our fault, and he saw our need. He saw me a sinner before I ever was born. He saw my need and he saw yours. And when the gulf that separated me from God was too far, and when I could not come to where he was, thank God he came to me and he came to you. He took the initiative. He came to where we was and he birthed us in the family of God. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what salvation. Oh, what peace. Oh, what tranquility. Oh, what goodness. Oh, what a gift. Oh, what a promise this morning. It's the world's greatest text, amen. I'm talking about, think about how long you've been saved, and we're still shouting over John 3:16. It'll still get the job done. It'll still save a sinner. It'll still change a life. It'll still make a difference. Hallelujah. Thank God for this verse. And sinner, if you'll trust the God of John 3:16, if you'll take the gift of John 3:16, then you can claim the promise of John 3:16. Sacrifice has been paid. The blood has been offered. Thank God the debt has been settled. I'm glad this morning that there's nothing left for you and I to do but receive the gift that has been given this morning. It's the world's greatest text. And then we find the world's greatest trip. As the Bible says in verse number 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The greatest trip ever taken was when Jesus Christ came to this world to die for sinners. And you've heard it said many times that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we, the sons of men, could become the sons of God. I'm glad he took my place at Calvary. Don't you thank God that Jesus died for you this morning? Sinner, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, then if you'll ask him, he'll take you this morning. You know, sometimes people will even say to you, do you think God would save somebody like me? You know, I'm glad I can say this morning, the answer to that question is yes. Preacher, how do you know that God would save somebody like me? Because if he's willing to die for somebody like you and me, then he's willing to save somebody like you and me. The world's greatest trip. And then I close this morning with this thought: the world's greatest test. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, that's pretty plain language, isn't it? The Bible says that if you've not believed in Jesus Christ with your heart and you've not trusted in him, the Bible says you're condemned. But he that believeth, he is not condemned. Romans 8 and verse 1 said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You know how I know I'm saved this morning? A lot of ways I could tell you I know I'm saved. But I'll tell you one way I know I'm saved: because I'm not condemned. Has there ever been a time when your heart would condemn you? Sure. Boy, if you listen to that heart, sometimes that heart will say, well, this, this, and this. But you know what the Bible says about that? When our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. I'm telling you, when that heart tries to say, when the devil tries to bring up all your past, thank God I can go back and say, you know what? Yeah, I am. I've agreed with the devil a few times. I hate to say that, but it's true. You say, what do you mean? I mean, when he tells me I'm sorry and low down, there's no point in arguing that. But the thing about the devil is he might tell the truth, but he never tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He might say, you're sorry and low down. How could you ever expect to go to heaven? I know I'm sorry. I know I'm low down. But thank God I'm not going to heaven on my goodness this morning. I'm going to heaven on his goodness. Amen. I'm not going to heaven on my righteousness. Amen. It's just filthy rags. But I'm going to heaven on his righteousness. I'm not going to heaven on what I said or what I did, but what he said and what he did. I'm telling you, when you hang it all on Calvary and you put your trust in Christ, it makes living a whole lot easier because you know he'll never fail. Amen. Thank God the condemnation's been rolled away and justification's on the inside. Amen. The world's greatest test. Look at this, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now this morning, if you're sitting here and you're lost, you're condemned. And you feel that in your soul this morning. That condemnation is conviction. And some people sit in a church like this and they'll say, man, if I ever get out of here, I'm never going back down there. I had a man one time say that about our church. He said, I don't go down to that church no more because I feel bad every time I go down there. Well, we're not making him feel bad. You say, well, you go down to that church there, and I'll tell you, that preacher, he does preach his own things that makes me feel bad. It's not me making you feel bad. I'm going to tell you why some people, why they're condemned, because the light of the Word of God shines in their heart and they see themselves for who they are. You know, I think about this verse every time I stay in a motel. Have you ever noticed in motels the lighting's terrible? I don't care why, I don't care how nice a motel is, the lighting's never good. You say, why is that? Because they don't want you to see the dirt. You know that's why. I just turn my flashlight on and look. Anyway, it drives me nuts. Amen. But I want to see the grime. Before I sit down on something, I want to see what it looks like. Amen. The lighting is bad. Why? Because light reveals the dirt. Amen. And I'll tell you, if you stay in a room long enough, I'll go in there that first day, and the first night, you know, you're sleeping like this. You're afraid to move. I hate what I'm about to tell you, but maybe it'll help you. But you know, by day five, you're used to the filth. I mean, I'll tell my wife, I said, you know, maybe this room isn't that bad. It's day three. She's like, no, it's terrible. And then by day four, I'm like, you know, I don't think it stinks. I don't think it stinks near as bad as it did on Monday. She's like, no, it still stinks. You're just getting used to all the grime. You know, that's how people are with sin. You stay away from this light, you'll feel pretty good about yourself, sinner. You won't feel bad. Listen to me. But I'm telling you, you get under the Word of God, that light will condemn you. Because it'll shine, it'll show the darkness. And I'm going to tell you, a lost man don't like the light. That's why they like to go hang out at night. Amen? They like the darkness. Why do they like the darkness? Because their deeds are evil. But look at verse 20. Here's the test. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But look at our last verse. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they're wrought in God. Listen to me this morning. That's a good test to know whether or not you're saved. If you're saved this morning, listen to me, if you're saved, you'll want to come to the truth. You won't want to run away from it. This morning, if you're lost this morning, if you're not saved, you don't want anything to do with the truth. You can talk to sinners about coming to church. You can witness to them. And a lot of times they'll do everything they can to give an excuse about not coming. You know why? They don't like the truth. Saved people want to be around the truth. You know, even church members that are lost, I'm going to tell you something about them. They really don't want to be around truth. They'll make excuses. I was telling them in Sunday school today that it would it'd be easier to just quit church, Brother Laddie, than to have to make an excuse every week of my life for why I miss church. Yeah. I'm not talking about if people get sick. I'm not talking about people that, but I'm talking about there's some people, they're always hunting. Well, you know, I go to church, but, you know, I just don't feel good most of the time. But, you know, you'll see them down at Walmart. They're feeling great at Walmart or the junk park. It's amazing how people go to work at 5 o'clock, get up 5 o'clock in the morning, go to work. Every day, 5 days a week. And then sometimes on Saturday. And they'll get up and they don't got to be at work till you know, 7, but they'll be in a break room at 6 smoking cigarettes. I mean, eating breakfast. And they're all excited about work. But when church rolls around, they can't hardly lift their eyelids at 8 o'clock and 8:30. And Sunday school's not even in their vocabulary. And then when they do come, they're miserable. Now, a backslider can get there, but a lost man has always been there. And this morning, I wonder, are you saved today? Have you been born again? Very simple question. And a very simple answer is this. If you're saved, you're drawn to the light. You're drawn to the light if you're saved. If you're lost, you're drawn to the darkness. Hey, young people, you listen to me. If you're saved, you want to stay in church. I'm not saying you won't never struggle, but you'll want to stay in church. But if you're not saved, you'll be drawn to the dark. You've always been drawn to the darkness. And you'll be thinking in your mind, as soon as I get old enough, I'm going to go out there. You know why some people went out there? Because they weren't of us. If you're saved, you want to live. And that ain't just for young people. There's a lot of people this morning in our churches. They're more fired up about what happens out there than they are about what goes on in here.
Right.
You ever seen them people get out of church and they look like a bird out of prison? You ever seen that? They get up on, they, the whole time, boy, that chair needs to be fixed. Can you move that for 1 second? Don't nobody sit in that chair. It's already broke before I stepped in it, by the way. Let's just make that clear. Hey, but you ever seen people? They're sitting here and they can't hardly smile. They're miserable. They always got something going on with somebody. They can't never get along. But you watch them when they get out of church. Boy, I mean, they can't post enough pictures on social media. They're grinning like a possum. And sometimes they're doing things. They'll be holding up a beer bottle, smiling, wanting you to see that. I'm going to tell you something. If they're saved, there's something. If they're saved, you mark down what I'm going to tell you. That's a facade, and they're lying, and God's whipping them through that smile. But if that's real, if that picture's real, and they're really that happy, they're not saved. And I didn't say that. That book says that. God will whip you if you're saved. You get out there and you go to drinking, and all these people run around saying you can be a Christian and drink alcohol, they don't read the same book we read out of. Amen. 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 That's become real popular these days. People say, well, you know, drunkenness, I'm going to tell you something. If you drink one beer, you're so much percent drunk. You don't believe that? Go down to the police station. Let them breathe in that little thing. See what they tell you if you don't believe that. And people say, well, you can be a Christian and drink. No, that's not what that book says. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't even want to drink. Because it'd grieve the Holy Spirit, it'd grieve you. And if you say, well, that bothers me, then you got a bigger problem than drinking this morning, friend. Christians don't play the lottery. Amen. If you can gamble away what God has given you and it don't bother you, can they do it and be saved? Yes, but it'll bother you. If I was to go buy a lottery ticket this evening, I'm going to tell you how I'd go in the store and buy one. This is how I'd walk in the store if I bought a lottery ticket. But lady, I'd be... I'd put my money right there. I'd be looking. Yeah, it would. And when I walked out the front door, I'd probably run into Brother Laddie pumping gas. Yeah. So you're frightened. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you, it's the Holy Ghost. He lives inside you. Can't get by with sin. If you're here this morning and you're backslid on God, you know God's whipping you. And you're out of fellowship with Him. And you're unhappy because you're... I feel so led to say this. If you're backslid this morning, listen to me. No, you better not think about getting out of church. I'm going to tell you something. Your life won't get better. It'll get worse. You go ahead and mark that down. Nobody gets out of the will of God and life gets better. It gets worse. And God's been too good to you to live backslid. You ought to get right with God this morning. And I hope you will. I really do hope you will because I want you. But I wonder this morning, are you saved? Let's stand. Are you saved this morning? We're going to sing a verse of this song. If you're not saved, come on this morning while we sing. There.